Welcome to the Mindful Personal Training Podcast with Dr. Clint Cepeda. Dr. Cepeda will discuss all the issues you face when losing weight, creating effective exercise design, and training with intensity. Dr. Cepeda is a health and exercise science researcher specializing in obesity, program design, and mindful behavioral changes. Be sure to stop by drclintcepeda.com for more information. And now, here is Dr. C.
Well, hello. Welcome back to Mindful Personal Training, the podcast with Dr. Clint Cepeda, Dr. C, that is me. Thank you for tuning in. You can download any podcast, so we are grateful and thankful that you decided to download ours. We'd like to give a great thank you to Olympia, Washington. Thank you for the downloads. We appreciate you. So whoever's listening out there in Olympia, Washington, thank you. All right. So this week, welcome again to the Mindful Personal Training Podcast. We are talking about just kind of piggybacking on last week's episode about teens and public school athletes. This week, I decided to kind of talk about things that I see quite often, not only in the athletic realm, but just in the everyday realm. And it's becoming an epidemic if you haven't noticed already. This week, we're going to talk about obesity management in children. And I'd like to just kind of highlight just a few things. Right now, there is a trend where there should be a pharmacy option to help these children lose weight accordingly to their height, to their weight, to their age. And I'm sure I have a strong opinion about that. We'd also like to talk about practicing what they eat. Children learn from those that they see. So, mom and dad, this is actually exactly for you. And then finally, we are going to close out the show with parental responsibility. And I'm sure you can kind of tell where that is headed if you've been listening to the podcast for quite a while. But welcome, everybody. Obesity management in children, sometimes it may be a sensitive subject, depending on who you're talking to, but it is a subject that doesn't have to be sensitive if we stick with the scientific way of how to make it happen. It is a deep subject. It is a subject that is researched very heavily in all the major journals. For those students that are researching that right now on the master's level, the graduate level, and of course, definitely in the PhD and doctorate level. But I'd like to kind of get back to basics with it. When we are kind of talking about obesity management in children, we're not just talking about kids who are big boned. And I'm sure on the podcast, you've heard me speak that there is no such thing as big boned. I mean, a child at 9 years old is a child at 9 years old. They don't have adult bone structure. Genetically, some may be bigger than others, and that's just genetics, and that's fine. The structural frame may be bigger, but they don't have big bones as compared to those in their age group. They just are just bigger kids. Child frame, it's not necessarily an adult frame. So the big bone myth, please, let's put that to rest. Children, when we are trying to raise them, we want the best for them. We never, you know, want to kind of put them in a bad mood, and sometimes we placate them. Feeding them food to get them in a situation to what we are in now as a country, something has got to stop. It's gotten so bad that now they're talking about pharmaceutical options rather than taking the natural route. In children, they will say yes to everything that tastes good. They will say yes to everything that makes their tummy feel great. Desserts are a plus, ice cream is the best, and candy every day would be their dream. But as parents, you have to realize by speaking all that sugar out there and speaking it to them and saying, yes, yes, you can have ice cream if you do this. You can have your sweets if you do that. You're creating a Pavlov effect. Not a healthy effect. And now, because it's so strong in our country to where our children are being taken for a ride because we are replacing true accountability as parents with a sugar snack, the pharmaceutical companies are getting involved. Now, I'm not going to give a list of those medicines that are being currently tested. I mean, the adult medicine is out there right now, and there's a couple big ones out there. You have to realize when it trickles down to the kids, now we have a very serious problem. Children's bodies, whether they're young teen, young adult, preteen, tweeners, whatever you want to call them, in that public school, elementary, middle school, and to some extent the high school age, they are still growing. But they're creating a DNA blueprint. Now, they have the regular DNA blueprint that they've gotten from their family, both from their mom and their dad. The habitual DNA blueprint, the chemical DNA blueprint, the practicum of how they want to feed themselves and how their activity will match whatever their nutrition is, that starts at a young age. Doesn't matter who you are. You may even do it and not even know it as a parent. Using medicine for children at that age is a rush to judgment. It puts them in a situation to where now we are adding a superficial substance and it blocks them to create their own intrinsic motivation to change themselves and rely on medicine. It's just as bad when adults do it. Why would we do that to children who have been basically abused through the use of food? Now, am I calling children who happen to be a little bit bigger than others and have some obesity, fat, or I'm calling them, you know, abused? To some extent, they are abused because you're not taking care of your child's health. Does any child want to be teased because they're big? Absolutely not. Children are mean. They're heartless, and sometimes they don't even know what they're saying and they don't know the meaning behind it. And that's just between each other. Imagine if you're talking to a kid who is, you know, maybe not that fast in kickball and probably maybe bigger than the others, and it's noticeably bigger. Kids have no mercy. Do not think that they will not tease your kid as the kid being the big one, because it's true. The pharmaceutical option now, it has gone nuclear. Now we've gotten down to the point to where we are not teaching the kids the right way how to eat. Basically, they copy whatever they see. If you're going to use medicine on children, it should be a last resort. Cancer, any type of blood disease, bone disease, surgical options because of an accident. That's probably the extent you want your kids to have some sort of medical experience on. But not having to take any type of medicine because they were obese and there's no other option. There are always other, better, more healthy options than going straight to the bottle. It's going to get a little bit more serious if we allow this to become commonplace. I can understand if children are asthmatic and they need their asthma medicine or they're allergic. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something that was created and now the child is suffering as an obese child. And because they don't have the proper welfare techniques, the proper education, and in some cases, quite bluntly, proper parenting, they're going to continue to be obese and make it worse in their young adult and for the rest of their lives. Introducing the pharmaceutical approach to try and handicap and take the place of actual real hard work, you're setting that child up for failure. I strongly, strongly urge you, if you're headed that path or if you've been recommended by your provider, that would be an option. Just exhaust every other option first. And if that doesn't happen, I'll be happy to help. You're more than welcome to give me a call, send me an email, and I'll definitely help and counsel. And I feel that passionately about it because I do not think and do not believe that you should ever medicate an obese child when you are setting themselves up for failure. This is something that they can remember that they're going to hold on to. If it becomes successful, they can go ahead and always take their medicine and they'll be fine. But you're never, ever going to change the behavior, and you're never, ever going to change the habit, and you're never going to have a healthy body, no matter what the pill or the medicine will tell you. Now, how did they get into that predicament and that situation? They're kids. They practice what they eat. Whatever they see mom and dad eat, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, uncles and aunts, that's what they will eat. They're kids. They have no say in the matter. You feed them whatever you want to feed them. Absolutely. But the challenge is as your child eats that way and you continue to eat that way, now we have unhealthy habits that become generational. It may have started with your parents and then you end up having children and then you pass it along to them. Nobody wants to be unhealthy. Nobody. Nobody is happy to be the big one in the picture, or no one wants to be uncomfortable in their own skin. Who does? So when a child practices what they eat and they eat nothing but fast food and fast snacks and no activity behind that, you are setting your child up for a lifetime of suffering. Am I saying this to make you feel guilty? No. You perpetuate your own guilt for the actions that you do for yourself, you do to your family. That's your own stick, man. But what I am trying to tell you, if you practice good things in terms of nutrition and eating, your children will practice those good things. Practice bad things, same thing. Your children are growing in front of you and practicing anything you do in front of them. If you are a smoker, chances are your kids are going to be a smoker. If you're a heavy drinker, chances are your kids are going to be a heavy drinker. So if we can understand those and we agree to that, isn't the true statement of having what you eat and practice what you preach exactly the same when it comes to food? Of course it is. It's no different. Now, do not get excited and put your panties in a bunch where you're talking about how kids, you know, they have fast metabolism and they're just kids. They can eat. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that if your kid is eating like it's Baskin Robbins every week or it's Thanksgiving meals every week, then you've got a problem. You've got a definite problem because you don't, one, know how to say no. And two, maybe you're not educated in how to eat. And three, you're not realizing that you're creating a damage to your body and to your family and to your children, all for the sake of making them happy. Remember, we're parents. We're not supposed to be their best friends. They've got plenty of friends, but they only have one set of parents, and you're it. So if you're practicing healthy habits, at least you're setting a small foundation that they can look in the mirror and have that reflection that my mom and dad take walks in the evening after dinner. Or you have sensible meals, things like balanced meals, maybe going for a bike ride together as a family, more fruits, more vegetables, a better plate where the plate is a mixture of foods and not one big fried plate of whatever you're frying that week. Changing things up is hard, especially on a cultural side. But your children are going to practice what they eat because you feed it to them. Now, if they could cook for themselves, they probably don't know what to do. So I urge you, at least maybe once or twice, get in the habit of trying to change the meal plan a little bit to where they can see that it's not just a fast, quick microwave meal or something to put in the oven for 30 minutes when you take the plastic film off. No, I know you love your children. I know you want them to be as healthy as possible. Don't make it any harder by feeding them junk and thinking that I want to make them happy and I don't want to say no to them, that it makes them happy if they can have their pizza and they can have their candy and their ice cream and all these great things. You can, absolutely. If your child is active and it's in moderation and you're practicing those same habits too. Because if that's happening, then it's a good balance. If it's not, then you are setting your children up for failure. And they are practicing what they see and what they eat because of you. Which leads to the ultimate piece of foundation that you need to have is parental responsibility. This is not a guilt trip on anybody. This podcast has always been about you looking at yourself in the mirror and being honest with yourself, with those deep, dark secrets you may have about yourself and your training and your exercise, but also your mental capacity of how you get over obstacles, even when times are tough. And they're tough for everybody, not just me, not just you. You have a different level and degree of toughness and obstacles that you're going through. I understand that. I get that. But being a parent who's responsible to their child. Nowadays, what I see, a lot of obese children where their stomachs are coming farther than their body can handle. And I'm wondering to myself, how did it get to that point? As I see them walk across, whether I'm at a park or I'm on vacation or even in the airport, the same thing that I'm wondering is the same thing that they have in their hand. Lollipop, popsicle, big fast food burger. I'm looking at it in my face and I'm realizing, wow, this kid has no hope. Then I look at the parents and it's a reflection of that. You have to be responsible for your child 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until they are of age and they are an adult and they can make those choices on their own. Being a sensible, healthy parent, not everybody has that. And that's one of the things about the podcast that we try to sit down and figure out what is our focus and what is our mission. We're not trying to make anybody feel bad. You are responsible for your own feelings. We've always told you that. But being a parent and being healthily responsible for your children does start with you practicing what you do. If you are trying to lose weight, let them see that. Life is not perfect because they see that and they see you overcome and they see you try. There is inspiration there. Don't hide your faults and don't hide your successes. They're your kids. Let them see that. But at the same time, don't model things like constant habitual bad eating habits, unhealthy habits, never exercising, overeating, overindulging, having a kid who's 6 or 7 years old and almost close to 80, 90 pounds is unacceptable. Look at a 6 or 7 year old child at 80 or 90 pounds. That is not where they need to be. And it shows. And they're getting bigger. Foods are getting faster. There are more chemicals. There's less time to cook as a family. Foods are more convenient. People would rather spend their money on big time restaurants, fast foods, just to get the time by and make it convenient because they're on to the next event or the next errand. You are a parent of a young child who needs to eat properly. Now, that being all said, can they eat their Oreos, two Oreos in a snack and at school? Absolutely. But if you're packing four or five, and I've seen some school lunches where they open it up and they've got soda, a full 16-ounce soda to drink for lunch. Do you know how rare it is for me to see water, bottles of water, containers of water in people's lunches? It is very rare. I see juice drinks. I see soda. I see a lot of sports drinks. I see in some kids, energy drinks. You are not doing your any kid service to be a food trendy. You don't have to be food trendy. Be food smart. Be parental smart. Stop turning around and making it something that you want to appease them. That is not your job. Your job is to keep them healthy, safe, and strong. Raise good human beings. So as a parent, if you are in that flux of trying to create healthy habits for your kid, work on it. You can do it. Go through the failures. Go through the strengths. Show them. But you got to do something. And you can't be stagnant. Because if you are, so will your children. Be brave about what you need to do. Be honest. If you know that you're obese and you know that you're overweight, you are. Because you're not healthy. And you're not a size 30 in a waist. Or you're not a size 10 or size 8 in a dress for a woman or a lady. Size 6, size 4, whatever. If you know you're unhealthy, make a change. But keep in mind, there's always small eyes watching what you do, what you say, and especially what you eat. That's going to do it this week for Mindful Personal Training with Dr. C. That's me. If you have any more questions or you just like to drop an email, you can do it at www.drclintcepeda.com. That's C-E-P-E-D-A. That gets misspelled all the time. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Stay healthy. Stay well and stay fit.
Dr. Clint Cepeda has a research background in health science and exercise sports science with a focus in obesity and mindfulness. The statements made in this podcast are for educational and motivational purposes only.